Chapter 9, Rotting Maw. Exterior Moon Barrows, Central Garden, Twilight. The party plummets from the air through a rippling veil of light, their bodies distorting as they cross between realms. The air around them shifts, colors intensify, sounds dampen to an eerie silence, then return with clarity. A tingling electricity courses through their bodies as they splash unceremoniously in a large muddy puddle. Bill gasps for air, convulsing violently. The fairies shake off the effects with practiced ease. The soldier remains eerily still, unaffected. What was once a grand central garden is now a swampy pit. Moon Barrows lies devastated, crumbling architecture and twisted vines threading through once beautiful structures. A glowing mausoleum looms atop an overlook. A broken bridge spans the river encircling the town. Of the several dozen structures in the settlement, only a few flickering lights show signs of life. Salome brushes dirt off Noners, who has returned to teddy bear form. Rosie flutters her wings, splattering mud everywhere. Rosie.
This place has seen better days.
Balthazar struggles to his feet, his pancake body now coated in muck. Balthazar.
Heard rumors about this town going to rot. Never thought it would be this bad.
Thorn surveys the area, his mechanical eye whirring as it adjusts to the dim light. Thorn.
It appears the whispers of Moon Barrows' decline were not unfounded. I haven't set foot here since the great Lord Ebonheart's funeral. But that was ages ago. Centuries, in fact. How times have changed.
Grendel lounges in the damp earth, a content smile on his leathery face. Grendel.
Refreshing.
Bill scrambles up, filth dripping from his uniform. He staggers, struggling to find his balance in a world that feels fundamentally wrong. He aims his firearm skyward, eyes wild with panic and disorientation. Bill. Shouting.
Where are they? When's the 30th coming through?
Thorn. Calmly.
They shan't follow us here, Private Zelinsky. In fact, they simply cannot. We've crossed into Anwafin, the other world. This realm is quite inaccessible to mere mortals.
Bill lowers his weapon, struggling to comprehend. Bill.
But how did Salome and I...
Thorn.
My dear boy, there are occasions when it's best to simply accept the magic of the Fae without question. This, I dare say, is one such moment.
Bill's face turns pale. The otherworldly nature of Anwafin washes over him like a wave. His body rejects the fundamental wrongness of this place. He doubles over, retching violently. The fairies exchange glances, barely containing their amusement at Bill's reaction. Balthazar, laughing.
Welcome to the other world.
Rosie, patting Bill's back.
Oh, dearie, I suppose the transition can be a bit unsettling for humans.
As Thorn opens his mouth to lecture the group about the dangers lurking in Moon Barrows, a small plant creature emerges from the mud, its body made of leaves and twigs, with innocent eyes peering out from beneath foliage. Moss.
Hello!
The creature startles the group. Bill stumbles backward and Rosie squeaks in surprise. Thorn.
Good day, young... Sprout. We're in search of a mycelium terminal within this settlement. Might you be so kind as to point us in the right direction?
Moss.
No! I plant in flowers!
The plant creature bounces, offering a small wilted flower to Thorn. Rosie.
Oh, how lovely! Thorn, he's brought you a present!
Thorn ignores the offering, his gaze fixed on the crumbling domain. Thorn.
I'm afraid we haven't time for such trifles. If memory serves, there's a tavern nearby. Or at least there was when I last visited this rather forsaken locale. We should be able to glean more pertinent information there. Let's press on, shall we?
Thorn strides forward without waiting for a response. The others follow hesitantly.
Come along now. Tread with caution.
Rosie, to the plant child.
Take care, dearie.
Moss.
Goodbye. I love you.
Moss returns to planting flowers, unbothered by their departure. Exterior Rotting Maw, twilight. The party approaches a grotesque structure, the most active among the few buildings in Moon Barrows, showing any signs of life. What was once elegant elven architecture has twisted into a nightmarish facade. The doorway resembles a decaying mouth, jagged teeth, dripping black ooze that hisses on impact with the ground. A sign painted in blood hangs above. It reads, "The Rotting Maw." A fetid stench wafts from inside, rot, stale ale, and something unnaturally foul. Thorn.
This establishment should be able to provide proper directions.
Bill, his face pale and sweating, gestures towards the building. Bill.
In there? We are going in there?
Thorn.
Take a good look around you, Private. The town is utterly deserted, barring this lone structure. We have but two options. Proceed forthwith, or retrace our steps up the well and take our chances with the blasted American army. I dare say I prefer the former. Shall we?
Balthazar, patting Bill on the back.
No worry. Soon stomach empty. Nothing left for throw up.
Grendel.
Place dying. Drinks probably cheap. Grendel-like.
Interior Rotting Maw. The party enters. Inside, the tavern retains hints of its former elven elegance beneath years of neglect. Cracked chandeliers cast sickly light over mismatched furniture. The wooden floor has softened with rot, giving slightly underfoot. A record player emits a haunting melody as conversations halt. The patrons turn to stare. At the bar, a knight in full armor, Sir Giles, and a French soldier from another era, Pierre, pause mid-drink. On the second floor balcony, a tall dark elf, Magistrate Vex, watches with piercing silver eyes. Three green-skinned goblins huddle at a table. Near the hearth, a blindfolded dwarf Bjarn sits silently, while a massive boar with golden runes etched in its hide sleeps at his feet. Behind the bar stands Eklovdra, a sultry cambion with purple skin. Her horns and wings cast eerie shadows across the dimly lit space. Bill freezes, instinctively reaching for his weapon, before Thorn places a steadying hand on his shoulder. Zix, a small red-skinned imp with large horns and a forked tail, approaches them with an air of begrudging obligation. Zix.
Well, well, visitors. How unexpected. Welcome to the Rotting Maw, I suppose. Table for...
Counting.
However many of you there are. That's a lot of people. Why don't you just seat yourselves?
The imp's unpleasant, entitled attitude is palpable as he gestures towards an empty table, his forked tail twitching with barely contained annoyance. The group splits up. Thorn approaches the bar. Balthazar, Rosie, and Grendel sit together at a table. Bill stands nervously at the entrance. The soldier and Salome explore together. Gameplay element, interactive dialogue. The soldier approaches Rosie.
Dear, this place gives me the willies. I can feel danger in me willy bones.
Balthazar rolls his eyes while Grendel snickers. Balthazar.
Rosie always see danger. She's scared of own shovel.
Rosie ignores their jabs. To the soldier.
I don't like it here one bit. We should leave soon, before something terrible happens.
The soldier approaches Balthazar.
Situation not good. We in strange place, with strange creatures.
He glances around the tavern, his eyes narrowing at the various patrons.
We need get to Queen Gloriana quick. No time for drinking or resting.
To the soldier.
You important. Queen wants see you. We protect, but must move fast.
The soldier approaches Grendel.
Situation bad. Many eyes watch us. Not safe here.
Leaning closer, lowering his voice.
Need leave soon. Find Queen quick. Too many strangers here. Could be enemies.
Grendel's gaze lingers on Bill, suspicion evident in his amphibian features. Grendel, pointing at Bill.
Grendel not trust new human. Maybe spy. Be careful.
The soldier and Salome approach the bar where Sir Giles de Rais and Pierre sit, both visibly intoxicated. Sir Giles sways slightly on his stool, his armor clanking with each movement. Sir Giles, slurring.
Mon ami, come, come, join us in our, how you say, revelry. You know, mon petit, in my time, we fought with honor. Pas comme aujourd'hui.
At the sound of French, Salome's eyes light up. Salome.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Sir Giles turns his helmeted head towards the girl, surprise evident in his posture. Sir Giles.
Une petite fille? Comment? How did you get here, ma chérie?
The soldier places a protective hand on Salome's shoulder as Sir Giles leans in, his breath reeking of wine. Sir Giles, to the soldier.
You, monsieur, you're a chevalier, non? A knight. I can tell by your bearing. We are not so different, you and I. Both warriors, both lost, n'est-ce pas?
The soldier approaches Pierre Dubois. Pierre sways on his stool, his eyes unfocused as he notices the newcomers. Pierre, slurring.
Ah, mon Dieu, Maury, more visitors from where? Le futur?
He squints at the soldier's imposing figure, then at Salome.
Une petite fille et un robot, c'est impossible. You know, I was in the war, la grande guerre. But now I'm here, stuck, lost, comme vous, non?
He hiccups, then leans in conspiratorially.
This place, it's not right, pas naturel. Be careful, mes amis.
The soldier and Salome approach the bar where Thorn stands, speaking with Eklovdra. The Cambion's beauty is disturbing, perfect features occasionally revealing glimpses of something rotten beneath, like mold under wallpaper. Thorn.
Madam, I implore you. The whereabouts of the mycelium terminal is absolutely vital to our mission. Might you be so kind as to provide us with directions?
Eklovdra's attention drifts, her gaze unfocused. Eklovdra.
Have you heard of the glorious Putrelax? His decay permeates every fissure, every cranny, all orifices. I'd love to provide you direction to his influence.
The brass plates of Thorn's eyepiece flex, tightening with visible irritation. Thorn.
With all due respect, madam, I haven't the slightest interest in your minor demon. We have rather urgent business with...
Decomposition is beautiful, is it not? It's the natural order of things.
She leans closer as her voice lowers, her gaze fixating on Thorn's insectoid features.
I see it in you, warrior. The slow, exquisite rot. It's captivating.
Thorn shifts uncomfortably, the gears in his mechanical arm clicking. Thorn.
Madam, please, focus. The mycelium.
Eklovdra's eyes trail over Thorn's form, a newfound hunger in her gaze. Eklovdra.
Your decay, it calls to me. Like a siren song of sour ruin. Tell me, noble fairy, how does it feel to rot from the inside out?
Her fingers hover near his armor. Where they touch, small patches of tarnish appear.
Perhaps we could explore this decay together?
Thorn recoils, his patience wearing thin. Thorn.
This is preposterous. I demand...
Mand. Oh, I do love a forceful insect.
The soldier watches silently. Salome hides behind his leg, repelled by the Cambion's wrongness, despite not understanding the conversation. The soldier and Salome approach the goblin table. The trio falls silent, eyeing the newcomers with a wary suspicion of those long trapped in a declining town. Their appearances are ragged but practical. Makeshift clothes and tools suggest adaptability rather than inherent monstrosity. Months. Coughing.
What are you looking at, Tin Man?
Gumble.
Probably wondering why we're stuck in this dump.
Sizzlick.
Oh, no way. All right, now. Bridge is gone. We were all rotten here together.
The goblins share a humorless laugh that devolves into coughing. Salome shrinks behind the soldier. Months.
Used to be great tunnelers. We were. Now look at us.
Gumble.
Roy trapped like rats in a sinking ship.
Sizzlick.
This place, it gets inside you, makes you feel wrong.
Their postures reveal the resignation of workers who've watched their town die around them. Powerless to stop it, patches of their skin have begun to peel away, their bodies rotting in sync with moonbarrows. Gumball. To the soldier.
A word of advice, metal man, don't stay too long. This town, it'll eat you alive.
They turn back to their drinks, the brief interaction already forgotten. The soldier and Salome ascend the creaking stairs to the second floor of the Rotting Maw, their steps echoing in the dilapidated tavern. The wooden slats groan beneath the soldier's weight, threatening to give way with each mechanical footfall. As they reach the balcony, they spot Magistrate Vex, a tall, gaunt, dark elf with pitch-black skin and white hair, standing rigidly at the railing. His silver eyes, glowing faintly in the dim light, scan the patrons below with an air of detached authority. Vex turns, his face a mask of stern composure, his long pointed ears adorned with silver rings twitch at their approach. Magistrate Vex.
Ah, newcomers. Welcome to Moon Barrows, a town of impeccable order and civility.
The strain behind his words reveals the lie.
I assure you, our fair town is regulated to the highest standards. As magistrate, I oversee all matters of law and governance. You are blessed to witness such a bastion of civility and high society.
He gestures broadly at the decaying tavern around them, his silver chain of office clinking softly with the movement.
True, we may face certain challenges. But rest assured, Moonbarrows remains a must-see destination for travelers, such as yourself, amongst all the glory of Anwufin.
The magistrate's eyes betray a flicker of sorrow, quickly masked by his stern demeanor. He turns back to the railing, surveying the first floor.
Let us raise a glass to the memory of our great lord, Silver Ebonheart, whose wisdom guided Moonbarrows to the magnificent prosperity we live today.
The tavern patrons respond with half-hearted toasts, the ritual as hollow as the town's grandeur. When the perfunctory ceremony ends, Vex's shoulders slump, the weight of maintaining appearances too heavy to bear.
We must maintain order. It's all we have left.
He takes a long drink, gaze drifting back to the tavern below. The contrast between his proclamations and reality hangs in the air like stale smoke. The soldier and Salome approach Zix, aggressively cleaning a glass mug. As they near, he scowls.
What do you want? Can't you see I'm busy?
He eyes Salome with disdain.
And before you ask, no, we don't serve milk. This isn't some post-structural infernal theory classroom where we cater to children. And you, Tin Can, better not leak oil on my floor.
His tail flicks as he scrubs the never-ending grime on the mug.
8 years at Pandemonium University for this... wiping up spills in this dump.
The soldier and Salome approach Bill, who stands awkwardly near the entrance of the Rotting Maw. His eyes dart nervously around the tavern, taking in the bizarre patrons and decaying surroundings. As the pair draws near, Bill's posture stiffens, a mix of fear and uncertainty evident in his demeanor. Bill forces a weak smile, his hands fidgeting with the hem of his uniform. Bill.
Hey there, big guy and little miss. This place It's something else, huh? I mean, I've seen some strange things since I got drafted, but this takes the cake.
His gaze moves from the goblins to the dark elf to the creatures he can't even name before returning to the soldier, the only somewhat familiar element in this incomprehensible situation. Bill, lowering his voice.
Look, I don't know what's going on here. One minute we're in France, the next we're in some kind of fairy tale gone wrong. I'm not cut out for this, you know?
He runs a hand through his hair, his eyes wide with barely contained panic.
I mean, I deserted because I couldn't handle the war. And now? Now we're in some other world with monsters and magic. I don't know how to process this. I know I'm not much use to you guys. I'm no soldier, not really. But I want to help somehow. I don't know how.
The soldier and Salome approach the hearth where Bjarn sits, a blind dwarf whose weathered appearance suggests centuries of hard living. His blindfolded face turns toward them, sensing their presence through means other than sight. Beside him, the massive boar Gullinbursti sleeps, its hide marked with decorative golden runes. Bjarn.
Visitors. Come closer, friends. My eyes aren't what they used to be. Let me see you with my hands.
The soldier allows the dwarf's calloused fingers to explore his metallic features. Salome giggles as the old hunter's beard tickles her face during his inspection.
What an odd pair you are. I seem to have forgotten my name. Wait now, Bjarn. That's it, Bjarn is my name. Allow me to introduce my companion here. He is a...
The soldier tilts his head as Salome gives him a puzzled look.
He is Gullinbursti, that's right. Good old faithful Goldie, as I call him.
The boar snorts softly but doesn't wake.
He's a bit tired. Tell me, friends, do you happen to know what day it is? The passage of time. It eludes me in this place.
The soldier emits sparks. Bjarn.
Have you seen Lucas or Magnus? They usually stop by for a chat. Lucas always brings news from the mountains, you know. And Magnus, he's got quite the stories from his hunts. I wonder what adventures they've had today.
Suddenly, Bjarn freezes. His nostrils flare as he inhales deeply. His entire demeanor transforming from confused elder to alert hunter. He sits up straight.
Wait.
His voice suddenly very clear.
I smell something. Troll blood. On you, metal man.
Bayarn's unseeing eyes bore into the soldier's faceplate.
And you, young one. What is this on your head?
His fingers find Salome's bone crown, and he pulls back as if burned.
It can't be. You've defeated a member of the royal troll family. I can smell their blood on you. Faint, but unmistakable. And there are but three of those bone crowns in all of the realms.
The soldier remains motionless, recalling the tunnel battle near St. Lo, where they encountered what he now realizes was more than just another enemy. Bjarn, to himself.
Warrior is capable of felling a troll prince. By the gods, what am I doing here?
The dwarf straightens, his confused manner replaced by clear-eyed purpose.
Moon Barrows. I remember now. I came here searching for my sons.
Bjarn stands triumphantly, his hand steadying on Gullinbursti's back.
I must leave this place. There is a corruption here, and it has been clouding my mind. But the exit is perilous, and I am not what I once was.
To the soldier and Salome.
I need your help, great warriors. Your strength in defeating the troll prince proves your mettle. I require an escort to leave this accursed town. I came in along the mycelium network, and that is how I will depart.
At the word mycelium, Thorn interrupts, having overheard. Thorn.
Mycelium, you say?
Bjarn, nodding vigorously.
Yes, yes. I came here through the mycelium. There's a terminal in the mausoleum overlooking the town.
Thorn.
The mausoleum? Are you certain?
Bjarn.
Aye. Certain as I am blind, but it's not without peril. When I came through, Goldie and I had to run for our lives. Within it lies a possessed shell of Lord Ebonheart. He's no longer the noble elf he once was. He's become something twisted, corrupted. A monster that lurks in the shadows of his own tomb. He guards the mycelium terminal, whether he knows it or not.
Thorn.
Whatever peril may lurk within that tomb stands between us and our passage back to Queen Gloriana.
Bjarn, his hand on the soldier.
I know it's much to ask, but I must leave to find my sons. And you, all of you, you don't belong here. This place will consume you if you stay too long. We must make our escape while we can.
Thorn.
That settles it, then.
To the soldier.
As soon as you are ready, we make haste for Ebonheart's final resting place.
The boar wakes, golden runes glowing faintly in the firelight. Bjarn.
Make your preparations, then come get me when you are ready to depart.
Patting Gullinbursti's flank.
Ah, old friend. It seems our rest in Moonbarrows has come to an end, despite the perilous journey ahead of us.
The old dwarf's words hang heavy in the air, the crackling of the fire punctuating the tense silence that follows. The path forward is clear, but fraught with danger. The mausoleum looms over Moonbarrows, a silent sentinel holding both their means of escape and the terrifying guardian they would have to overcome.